We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to the show. Glad to have you with us tonight, Ivy Nation Sports Talk up and running with Vince D'Addario, Sean Stiers. The chat's already going crazy right now. Glad to have you with us tonight.
No surprise.
We've got all kinds of stuff to talk about tonight.
Yeah, we do have a lot of stuff to talk about. You know, Ivy Nation hasn't been heard from a football standpoint since Saturday, and so we're gonna pick up the mantle and we're gonna run with it. This is a very exciting time if you're a Notre Dame football fan. It really
absolutely
is. And I'm trying very hard not to go down the rabbit hole with some of the stuff that's out there. You know, I'm excited about what could possibly be occurring for Notre Dame football. Very, very excited about it.
So, absolutely. I hope, and I realize Let me just put it this way. I hope that there's more of a splash made than what happened with my favorite NFL team. I don't have to say the name, you know, because I get called out every time I say the name. But I'm not necessarily happy, you know. Turns out maybe it could be worse. I don't know. We'll see.
They basically cleared house underneath the head coach.
Right, well, they got rid of a lot of what they thought were, you know, they had like a lot of assistant position coaches and, you know, those kind of things. Like,
so those are the guys that make it all happen.
Basically, they decided they were going to save a buck and got rid of it. They thought they were too top heavy with the coaching staff, but they also, gotcha. You know, Kellen Moore went to the Chargers. Mike McCarthy's going to take over the play calling, and they hired an old retread who they had on the staff as an analyst or, you know, whatever they called him okay. as their offensive coordinator. So I don't know what kind of imagination is going to come there, but
gotcha.
Hopefully there's more imagination to come out of this one. But again, a lot of it to get to tonight, a lot of names out there, and we're going to get to them here in a minute. I just, you know, wanted to address a couple things. Derek says he's not sure if he's talking to me because he had at least two nights last week where his 6 o'clock window was left empty.
Ooh.
Very disappointed. He followed that up with, we could have had the Jesse show featuring whiteboard. I mean, that's true, but
it's fair.
You know, I don't know if Jesse was mentally prepared to, you know, he and the whiteboard mentally prepared enough to get it all put together. I did have a minor quote unquote, you know, they were doing some follow-up stuff on my old ticker last week. And yeah. fortunately for me anyway, I don't want to speak for everybody else, but it came out good, you know, so that was
good.
That was Tuesday, I think, last week. And then Wednesday we were traveling to Boston College, Thursday game at Boston College. We were back on Friday, but you know, so I had, you know, a little women's basketball, and that's going to occupy at least one day. I think that's the last time we travel in the middle of the week this season. So basically Thursdays, you know, until the season ends, I'm spoken for on Thursdays, but I won't have any more Wednesday travel nights that we have to worry about. So
good news for this guy.
I know.
Right here. Number one, I get to do shows with you.
Yes.
Number two, I don't have to worry about preparing
Jesse and his whiteboard.
That end of it.
Well, yeah, that's true. Plus, I come up with all the rapid fire. So
yes. I'll put it right out there. I just get the rapid fire questions to figure out how I'm going to answer them. So I do prepare in that manner.
Right.
Coming up with them is a hell of a lot more difficult than just answering them, okay? It is hard, man. It is hard to come up with questions. I don't know how you do it every day. You have a gift.
I have a Rolodex. I've told you, some of them stay on standby for a while, and there's always like the weighing of how long can I hold this question back and have it still be relevant, you know, and like, you know, because there's all, you know, we always try to work in timely stuff and all that kind of stuff, not to go too deep in the weeds, but yeah, Anthony had a question about women's basketball. Yes. Yeah, they did. They dropped two out of their last three. They lost at NC State last week and yesterday. 57-52 to Duke at home.
Fourth quarter, man. Sean. What the heck happened? Holy moly.
6 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And it was watching that Duke team, it was like there's such a deliberate pace to begin with. They play this very, you know, they're not in a hurry to do anything. And
the burn offense.
Yeah, basically, you know, and they don't do a whole lot. They want to be in the half court. They want you to be in the half court when they're playing defense. And, you know, 6 points in the fourth quarter stinks, you know, call it what it is. But Duke's also the number four scoring defense in the nation.
Sure.
And they've only given up more than 60 points three different times this season. The only time they've given up more than 70 points was when they lost to UConn earlier. So they're a really good defensive team. Now, the other side of that is still, do you expect to be better than 6 points in the fourth quarter? Of course you do, because they hit just one of their last 11 shots, and that only shot was a three-pointer by Olivia Miles, and it was the only bucket they scored in like the last 8.5 minutes of the game. You know, and the flip side is Duke only hit two of its last 12 shots. They hit a couple free throws at the end as well, but they also only hit two of their last 12, and the biggest thing there is missed opportunities on Notre Dame's part from a transition standpoint, because that's what Neil Ivey wants to do. They miss a shot. We want to get the rebound and get it up court, and they weren't able to do enough of that. And then Olivia Miles only had two assists, and as a team, they had seven assists, which is seven assists on, I think it was 21 made field goals. Zone defenses have been given Notre Dame a hard time, and they've been seeing more zone and figuring out how to solve that zone, even with a playmaker like Olivia Miles. And again, that's why you need that transition offense. And, you know, seeing more zone with Mabry out, having Ebo out doesn't help either, of course. Fingers crossed, maybe she's coming back this week. You know, nothing definite right now, but okay. You know, there was some talk about that, but they've got some things to figure out, and hopefully they get it figured out here pretty soon.
Yeah, because it feels – they just always have that one quarter where they're just – I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
Look, I'm going to be the old man in the balcony here for a second. I tried to watch the game, and it was blacked out for some reason, which is mind-boggling to me that you're blacking out women's basketball games. But I just it's like one quarter. It just seems to be their bugaboo every time that they drop a close game like this. It's one quarter where they just – can't get the offense going, and that's got to be super frustrating for Neil Ivey. I mean, it just has to be.
They had one of those against NC State last week as well. Right. They had a couple bad quarters against North Carolina about a month or so ago. But all right, I see everyone chiming in. You're right. I know you're here to talk about football. Let's talk about some football. Hit the like button if you would, since you know you're directing the conversation right now. But yes, D-Rock Irish, two injuries right now, women's basketball. Dara Mabry's out for the rest of the season, and Ebo's been out for what is it, the last three games now. Again, hopefully they get her back soon.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Yeah. Let's talk some potential candidates, though, shall we?
Please.
For Notre Dame's offensive coordinator
position. Yeah. It's funny. I didn't mean to cut you off, but it's funny. You and I have been talking about this, and I hate when people say that because they obviously did mean to cut you off because I did. But it is very much throwing darts at a dartboard right now. I mean, you know, we do have, you know, some information here and there. You know, some names that have been floated out there, things of that nature. But man, like one of the names that we'll get to is just really surprising to me. And, you know, some of it is wishful thinking, I think, on our part. Some of it is, you know, these are the guys that they're potentially talking to. And this day and age with communication and technology and everything, like we want answers now. And we have to be patient. Like this is
right.
The most important hire.
I saw somebody on the boards like first thing this morning, like, what's going on? I'm getting nervous. I haven't heard anything. And it's like it just became official with Tommy on Friday. Like, has it even been 72 hours yet?
Well, I don't think it has. And so. has Alabama announced it? They probably
have. I haven't seen an announcement.
Okay. I haven't seen an announcement either. So it's really not even official, if we're being honest, right? If they haven't even announced it, it's not even official. So, you know. It's going to take a little bit of time. They probably want to have somebody in place by spring practice, which isn't going to be until the middle of March. So you've got over a month, frankly, to get this thing figured out. And to be honest, yes, you absolutely want to have somebody in by then. But if they don't and they end up making the right hire, it's not the end of the world. Spring isn't about installing, you know, the scheme. And it's about fundamentals and it's about a lot of other different things than it is about the scheme. So
right.
I don't think that'll be the case, but if it is and they hire the right guy, it's not a bad situation.
Hiring the right guy. That's the key.
That is absolutely the key.
So a couple different things about the names we're going to mention here. One, these are all guys that Irish Breakdown has pretty solid information on that there is at least interest on Notre Dame's part. The ones that we're going to talk about for the most part.
Right.
The other side of that is we're not going to talk about other people's reporting, these guys are reporting this and these guys are, I have no idea what other people are reporting. It's all behind paywalls. I don't have paywalls to any of that stuff. So
yeah
I have no idea what they're saying. So their reporting is their reporting. We're going to talk about the people that Irish Breakdown again has solid intel on that there is at least interest from Notre Dame's perspective. For the most part.
Right.
But I wanted to start with a couple guys, speaking of which, who we can cross off the list. The top of that cross off the list is Cliff Kingsbury. And the bottom line, as awesome as it would be to get a guy like Cliff Kingsbury in here with his offensive acumen, is the fact that he has an NFL, he was fired and he has a contract that runs through 2027. And yep. It's said to pay him somewhere around at least $5 million a year. So a guy who is just an NFL head coach who can get over $5 million for doing nothing, that's why he said, I'm going to Thailand and I'm not coming back. He's not going to give up $5 million for probably half of that and come be a college offensive coordinator. As cool as it would be. Like,
yeah,
Cliff Kingsbury right now is kind of becoming the new John Gruden. It seems
like. Oh, my God. You know? Surprised nobody's brought him up yet.
That's right.
Good.
I was thinking that too.
X over Y banana. Get it in the
playbook. So no Cliff Kingsbury. No Cliff Kingsbury.
Yes, I think that, and I think that's fair. Like because I'm pretty sure if he takes a job, he gives up that money. Why would you do that?
That's exactly it. That's how those contracts work. As long as you're, you know, it's basically like as long as you're unemployed, you're gonna keep drawing that check. But as soon as you take another job someplace, you know, now at some point for him, it's going to be, well, do I want to keep coaching or do I just want these big fat paychecks? I mean, honestly, you know, he's got like a model girlfriend and he can go wherever he wants right now. He can do a lot of different things. And if I were guaranteed, what is it, you know, 20 to 25 million for doing nothing, I might just seriously consider retiring and going bouncing around the globe for the rest of my life.
Take a few years off. Like, you can always get back. He's a pretty young guy. I want to say he's younger than me, but I don't know that for sure.
He probably is.
Take some time off, man.
I think that's what he's doing. I think he's definitely sitting out at least a year. Yeah.
5 million a year to sit around, pick up a job like this, and just volunteer your time. Like, I mean, there's a million things he could do that's not going to breach that contract. And he can, I mean, laying on a beach in Singapore or whatever, or Thailand with his hot girlfriend that'd be pretty high on my list if I was him. So he's not coming to South Bend, Indiana to be an offensive coordinator for a third of what he's going to make to sit around and do nothing.
Right.
That's just not, that is not realistic, people. It is not realistic.
The other two names, maybe more, you know, I don't know how prominent you consider them to cross off the list, because as of right now, there is zero connection to Notre Dame, you know, zero interest that we've heard about on Notre Dame's part. And that is Charlie Weiss Jr. and Warren Ruggiero, who of course was Sam Hartman's offensive coordinator at Wake Forest.
And yes.
Cross them both off the list.
Absolutely. Number one, Sam Hartman left Wake Forest for a reason. He wanted to be in a more pro style offense. He wanted to be in a bigger place, bigger name, whatever. Check. He's not going back to the slow mesh. Okay. They're not working the slow mesh in the NFL. That is, he wants to up his stock, not bring it back down to where it is now. Like that would defeat the entire purpose. Even if he was the hottest commodity, I just don't, you know, I don't see that being the case. And if it was, Sam Hartman would not stick around for very long.
I mean,
why would he? I wouldn't.
He came here to bolster his NFL stock, not to come here and have the same offensive coordinator follow him here and run that same offense.
Yes.
Again, you know, like it sounds to say there's, you know, familiarity and all that kind of stuff.
And as far as Weiss Jr., now this is my opinion. You know, he's been an offensive coordinator. He has been one. He's the co-offensive coordinator right now at Ole Miss. He was, I believe, the full offensive coordinator down at Florida Atlantic. But the common denominator is that Lane Kiffin,
correct,
has been there the entire time. He's Lane's the offensive the coordinator, okay?
Yeah.
So I am not willing, and this has nothing to do with his name, because I think he is an up-and-coming coach. I do. Right. But in the same vein that Tommy Rees was an up and coming coach when he got the job, I personally do not want somebody learning on the job.
Not experienced enough by any means.
That is not what I want for this position at all. So it has nothing to do with the fact that his name is Charlie Weiss. That's not the issue. The issue for me, he is not experienced enough. He is not seasoned enough. It was the same issue I had when Tommy Rees got the job. So this offense, this program is in a different place than they were in 2020. I want it to go to a more seasoned person, so I would cross him off the list as well.
Yeah. There's someone I want to talk about. I think let's talk about this guy first. Now, again, there's at least been some legitimate interest in this guy, and that's why we're talking about him. And it's an interesting name. It's a big name.
Yeah.
I think you kind of touched on it, is who you were alluding to earlier. Ryan, I truly 100% doubt it, but is Byron Leftwich a name that has been floated around. Apparently, again, we're talking about guys who we have intel. There's interest on Notre Dame's part. Apparently, Byron Leftwich is a person of interest for Notre Dame right now.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Is very interesting to me that he would be a person of interest to come down to I mean, he's an offensive coordinator in the NFL.
He got fired.
You're right. Was an offensive coordinator. He's not currently employed, if I'm not mistaken, right?
That's correct. That's correct. He is a free agent.
So he will be employed by someone, probably not as an offensive coordinator, I wouldn't think. But I was surprised that he is getting the play that he is. I have a hard time wrapping my mind around Byron Leftwich at Notre Dame. Like, that's a tough sell for me. My original thought was, well, if he's good enough for Tom Brady, he's good enough for, you know, Notre Dame and Sam Hartman and all of these different things. I don't know. It doesn't feel like a very good fit to me, but we are hearing that he is a person of interest, which,
what?
Yeah, just kind of shocking to me.
Yeah, and I mean, he's 43, so he's still relatively young. 4 seasons as offensive coordinator in Tampa Bay. Great for the first season Brady was there in Tampa, but that was also, you know, kind of along the lines of what you were talking about. Like, Bruce Arians was still more calling the shots down there offensively. Like, it was Bruce Arians' show, and Byron Leftwich was more quarterback's coach and kind of an offensive sort of figurehead. And they couldn't run the ball this year. Leonard Fournette averaged like 3.5 yards a carry. You know, they still, you know, and I know that Ryan Jensen, the center, was out, and Robert Hainsey, you know, got to play a lot of center, but Jensen supposed to be their best offensive lineman and all that stuff. But like, they couldn't run the ball at all. And they still had Mike Evans. They still had Chris Godwin, who both had respectable enough numbers seasons, but they also had Tom Brady, and that offense was just bad. It was bad. And then on top of all that, you throw in the fact that this is a guy who has only coached in the NFL. Like, he has zero college experience. So like, when you start talking about recruiting and all those things, and you could make the case, I guess, that because he's a name and he's got a Super Bowl ring and he's worked with Tom Brady and done these kind of things, that, you know, like, that could go a long way in recruiting and all that kind of stuff. But man, when I look at the bottom line for what that offense was this year with a Hall of Fame quarterback running the show, like, I'm just, it's hard to get too worked up for me about left.
Yeah. And he doesn't have a ton of experience. I mean, he's been a coach since 2016. Okay. He was a coaching intern that year. Then he became the quarterback's coach for the Cardinals. Then he was the interim offensive coordinator for part of his last season in 2018. And then he's been the offensive coordinator for Tampa Bay ever since. Don't believe he was he the quarterback's coach for Tampa Bay, or was he just the offensive coordinator?
I believe he was still the quarterback's coach. I think he was both.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Either way,
at least he was at one point, you know, like, looking back at his resume and all that kind of stuff. Let me see if I can find it.
All right. But my point is, we have no idea, number one, if he can recruit. Number two, if he can develop young quarterbacks, we have no idea, because he's been in the NFL.
Right.
When he had his most success, he had Tom Brady. He wasn't developing Tom Brady.
And he was just the offensive coordinator in Tampa. He was quarterback's coach prior to that in Arizona. But you can, you know, I'm again, with Bruce Arians having so much pull when he was there, you know, he probably was operating to some extent as quarterback's coach. But again, it's Tom Brady. Like, how much coaching from Byron Leftwich does Tom Brady need? You know, it's like, and that's the biggest piece of this. You've got to develop quarterbacks. You've got to develop young quarterbacks.
Yeah. So that one doesn't excite me in really any way. He doesn't have the track record that I'm looking for. He doesn't have the pedigree that I'm looking for. I have no idea if he can recruit. Like, all the things that I want as an offensive coordinator at Notre Dame, like the things that I would be looking to check off, he doesn't really check off any of those. Yeah, he's got a Super Bowl ring. but it almost feels like he was along for the ride. So that is not one that excites me in any way.
In terms of the internal candidates, really there's one primary internal candidate, and that's Jared Parker, who of course was coordinator for a couple of years at West Virginia before he came here. Dylan McCullough not necessarily getting like the same kind of pull, I guess, as Parker. I could see Dylan McCullough, though, potentially, because of all the experience. You know, the thing that I like most about him is, one, his development of running backs, which, you know, I mean, sure, we saw what that position room was about this year. And, just, you know, like the connection to the Andy Reid offense that utilizes running backs so well, that Chiefs offense, and, you know, like even going back to Philadelphia. So I could easily see, while it doesn't appear right now that Dylan McCullough is, you know, again, like a candidate to become offensive coordinator, I could easily see potentially where, like, he could be run game coordinator, which gets him another title for one thing, to kind of, you know, push him into line. Because I just, you know, the biggest thing with him and anyone who hasn't called plays before is, you know, one, there needs to be a pretty direct connection to the quarterback. I think, you know, like we were talking about Byron Leftwich, has he been a quarterback coach and all that? There needs to be a connection to the quarterback. I could easily see Dylan McCullough, though, being a run game coordinator and you know, maybe having more input in the offense going forward when you bring in a new guy.
So the only way I see all that going down, and I don't disagree with you at all, it would be like a Jared Parker pass game coordinator, McCullough run game coordinator, kind of like co-offensive coordinators, mm-hmm. and then you bring in a quarterback's coach, right? That's how that would work. For me, that would be like, man, we struck out on like five guys. All right, let's go internal. Like that,
right?
That's how that would feel to me. Now, that may not be the case. Maybe those guys would blow away an interview. Maybe they would do a great job and you just bring in a quarterback's coach and you roll. I mean, maybe, right? My concern, obviously, is that, you know, when Jared Parker was at West Virginia, he was running someone else's offense.
Right.
Right. And that, you know, so who is Jared Parker? I don't personally know the answer to that. Now,
so he was calling plays, but he wasn't, it was his head coach's
right
offense.
Right. So it's all very, there's a lot of question marks within that scenario, right? And then obviously you got to bring in a quality quarterback's coach that can recruit and can do all of the things that you want him to be able to do. There's too many question marks. Like that's not the home run that I'm looking for personally.
Right.
Not that Marcus is calling me up and asking me, but that's not what I'm looking for. That doesn't check the boxes for me. It could work out in the long run. Like, I think those two guys are really good coaches. I just don't know that they're ready to be offensive coordinators on this particular team in this particular time.
Right.
So that's why that one doesn't
not
like
for what, not for what Notre Dame needs right now.
Right.
With where they need to go now, because in addition to this very veteran quarterback you have,
right,
as we've talked about, you have a lot of young quarterbacks and, you know, a quarterback who's going to be a little bit older now. Buckner's, you know, going to be a junior, yeah, who needs to be developed. That's the biggest thing you need, you know, whether you want to call him a quarterback whisperer or whatever it happens to be. And we'll get to some of those names on the list here in a little bit. That's important. And like Byron Leftwich, you know, is another example. Like, I think I saw somebody say, you know, like as a quarterback's coach or something like that, it's, you're not going to leave the NFL as an offensive coordinator and go backward to college and just be a position coach. It's one thing if Byron Leftwich, you know, heads off and becomes a quarterback coach for another NFL teams for a couple years. And then, you know, maybe in a couple years gets another chance at being an offensive coordinator. You're just not going to go backwards like that into college. I just don't see it. I think he would have to be offensive coordinator and quarterback's coach. And by the way, for a name like, you know, again, because he's going from the NFL where the salaries are greater, you're probably going to have to pay him a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, not to, you know, to reel back into the Byron Leftwich stuff, but it just seems like it's more a marquee name than what you'd be getting out of the whole package, I think.
Right. I completely agree. It's just, I would have to learn a heck of a lot more, and that would never happen unless me and Byron sat down and had a chat. Like, I just don't know. There's just too much I don't know. He's never coached in college before, right? He went to Marshall. That's not high Division I football, you know? I mean, yes, he coached in the NFL and all of that, but he's never recruited. He's never had the restrictions that college has on you. When you're in the NFL, man, you can coach 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you know? You can't do that in college. It's different. If there's a teaching that, you know, yeah, it's just way different, and there's just way too many question marks when it comes to Byron Leftwich for me.
Right. I think the names that are getting the most traction are Joe Brady and Moorhead. Would you agree with that?
I would absolutely agree with that. And to me, both of those would be home run hires. Yes,
I concur.
Yeah.
Joe Brady and Joe Moorhead. Yes.
Absolutely.
Brady is kind of like, is he the new Golden Goose? You know, like we talked about Brady Quinn with the Golden Goose for NBC TV that everyone's chasing. Like, it seems like he's sort of the new Golden Goose for Notre Dame right now, you know, like as soon as this popped open.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because, okay, so I know prior to the 2019 season, Brian was super high on LSU because of the Joe Brady situation. He was a big fan of Joe Brady going into that year. He picked LSU to be a finalist, you know, a Final Four team, all these things going into the year. And when he and I would talk, he'd be like, it's the coaching. Like, I'm picking them because of the coaching. And it was interesting. I trust where he comes from, and I love that. And it was good. And he was right, obviously, on this one. And for me, the only red flag I have about Joe Brady, I have one red flag, Sean. You can tell me if I'm crazy on this one.
Well, it's probably the same. We probably got the same one, but I'll be interested to hear what you say. Go ahead.
Yeah. So he goes out on top from LSU, right? I mean, top of the world, the best offense, you know, arguably the best offense we've ever seen in college football. They're just lighting up scoreboards left and right. They're a balanced offense. They could run the ball, throw the ball, all these different things. He gets the job in the NFL.
Carolina.
A lot of hurdles at Carolina. I get it. You know, I don't necessarily blame him for that. And he goes
Teddy Bridgewater and Sam Darnold, I believe, were the two quarterbacks he had in his 2 years.
Yeah. So there's X's and O's, and then there's Jimmy's and Joe's, right? I mean, I think we can all agree with that, right?
Right.
And then he's the quarterback's coach at Buffalo, and I think we can all agree that Josh Allen was pretty damn good before Joe Brady got there.
I was going to say, you're a much better quarterback's coach already when you get to move from Bridgewater and Darnold to, Allen, right?
No doubt. So Joe Brady is essentially a one-hit wonder. He's kind of, you know, what he did at LSU, awesome. Like, awesome. He'll always have that. Is that what he's going to do if he comes to Notre Dame? Maybe? Possibly? Probably?
Right, he's basically made his living on that so far. That 1 year that he had at LSU. He was obviously with the Saints prior to that. So that's your...
That's my worry.
Actually, the red flag is he's a one-hit wonder.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting, because I agree with what Derek is saying. Recruiting seems to be the thing with him. And, like, going back and
not, you know, wanting to? Is that what
digging around. That? Like, he is – there's a lot of stuff written by LSU folks, you know, from back right after he left, that he apparently loathed recruiting and, you know, like – outlet, you know, like the biggest thing that he didn't like about recruiting apparently was having to, you know, smooch the booties of teenage kids, you know, getting them, you know, to go to college. I would think, because of the name that he has right now, and because he's going to be working with Marcus Freeman, and, you know, just the whole situation, I would think that it would be relatively easy for him to go out and recruit.
I agree. I don't think he would have to recruit that hard.
Yeah.
Especially if the Notre Dame offense puts up the numbers that everybody hopes that he would put up if he came over here. Man, you just sit back and you just point at the stat sheet like, hey, you want to be a part of this or not? You know, and he's obviously going to have a head coach that's really good at recruiting, you know, all of those different things. He can be kind of Harry Hestand about it. Okay. Now, we all heard the knock about Harry Hiestand and his recruiting, right? Well, Harry Hiestand does a great job of selecting who he wants to go after. And then he goes after those guys really hard. But he's not beating the trail down for all of these crazy, you know, just to be on the trail, right? He figures out who he wants, and he goes and get those guys. Joe Brady can do the same thing at quarterback. And guess what? When you're the quarterback's coach, one guy a year. That's right. What you need. One guy.
That's it. And, you know, Bill says Brady's entire offense at LSU is throwing it 30 yards downfield every play. Won't work
here.
Well, I mean,
not true at all, but.
Well, I mean, in college, like when you look at the successful offenses, I mean, that's basically every successful college offense.
Much more balanced than that. I mean, if you go back and watch.
And I mean, he turned Joe Burrow in 1 year into what Joe Burrow is right now. And, you know, like, yeah, he had Ja'Marr Chase and he had Justin Jefferson and that whole crew. But again, that offense went to a completely different level when he was the passing game coordinator for that one season. Now, on top of that, you know, like it won't work here. Well, Notre Dame is recruiting that wide receiver position a lot better right now than they have been the last few years. So maybe, you know, it won't necessarily work in the immediate, but I think as they keep bringing in these more heralded wide receivers and the quarterbacks that they're bringing in, I think that you get the right guy. And I think,
I think
Notre Dame's also going to have a really good running game to go along with it.
Yes. And by the way, and as Derek points out, the running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire at LSU went in the first round of the Chiefs. Yeah. So they were clearly balanced. They had really good wide receivers. They had a really good quarterback. They had a really good running back. And they had an offensive line that got the job done too. And Notre Dame, I'm not saying that Sam Hartman is Joe Burrow. But before the season at LSU, like if you took
Joe Burrow wasn't Joe Burrow.
If you took Joe Burrow, who he was going into that year after 1 year of starting at LSU, and you take Sam Hartman and what he's done up to this point, I think a lot of people would have taken Sam Hartman. I'm just saying. Now, Joe Burrow obviously has done amazing things since then. From August of 2019 until now, he's done a lot of really good things. He's really, really good. Joe Brady unleashed Joe Burrow, no doubt about it. But going into that season, there wasn't anybody talking about Joe Burrow. Sorry.
Right. Well, and we'll get to Jason Candle for the people bringing up Candle here in a little bit. Alex says, won't work here. It's amazing how short such memories y'all have. And, you know, when he said that, the first thing I thought of was like, well, work for DeShone Kizer and Will Fuller. You know, it worked with Michael Floyd for a while. You know, it's like you just got to get the right guys in. And again, I'm confident in the recruiting that they're doing at those both positions, quarterback and receiver right now, that it can work.
Yep. Yep.
But you also need, you know, the right guy to kind of make it all happen.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
Who you want to talk about next?
We could just, I mean, the list that you gave me earlier that we had going in, I kind of just wrote them down in order. So the next one on the list would be Moorhead. So you want to talk about him?
Sure.
Yeah. So Joe Moorhead, he's one of the two Joes
Akron head coach.
Yep. Former offensive coordinator at Penn State, I do believe. Right.
Had a lot of success at Penn State, probably the most success of his career at Penn State so far.
And he Trace was a guy. McSorley. Yes. He was a guy that a lot of people wanted when Notre Dame made the last offensive coordinator change. Right. And I think rightfully so, if I'm being honest. I think, Joe Moorhead would have done really, a really, really good job at Notre Dame if he would have gotten the job in 2020. And maybe things look a little bit different than they do now. Maybe they don't. I don't know. But he was the choice of many going into that year,
right.
No doubt. And I think he should be. You know, he went to Oregon, was the OC quarterbacks coach there. That's where he went instead of coming to Notre Dame in 2020. And now he's the head coach at Akron. And the last time I checked, he's making $500,000 at Akron. He could...
You make a lot more money being the OC at Notre Dame.
He could quadruple his money.
And your hair grays and thins at a slower rate when you're at Notre Dame making more money and doing things with the talent that he's gonna have around. You know, and what's interesting is, you know, he's 49. So, you know, he's not quite 50 yet. He's been coaching since 1998. So he's you know, got a ton of coaching experience.
He's got the seasoning. He's got the seasoning, right?
That's for sure. And he and Tommy Rees interviewed at Oregon at the same time. And of course, he ended up getting the job out there at Oregon over Tommy Rees.
Yes. Yep. And he, I mean, he's been a head coach. He has a track record of being a quarterback's coach. He has a track record of being an offensive coordinator. I like the way he calls an offense. I like the way his offenses look. I just think it would be a very smooth transition.
I do
going
too.
From Tommy Rees to Joe Moorhead. I just don't see a whole lot of downside to this.
And unlike Joe Brady, there's not the question with recruiting. He is thought of as a very good recruiter. And, you know, again, like you come to a place like Notre Dame, and I think he's going to have an easier time. And I don't think you can also underestimate the pairing with Marcus Freeman. And, you know, Marcus Freeman being the point man in recruiting. So, you know, like, I think that goes a long way as well with whoever the coordinator ends up being.
No doubt. I mean, recruiting is going to be incredibly important. And the fact that he's been in college since I was in high school, and the man can recruit. The man can do some good things, right?
Now
I
you're mean, aging he, yourself.
I know, right? he checks a lot of those boxes. Oh, by the way, Cliff Kingsbury and Byron Leftwich are both older than me. So, not by much, but still. I think that he just checks all those boxes that we've got out there, that I've got out there for who the offensive coordinator at Notre Dame should be. Checks all those boxes. He just does. I'm not saying he's my favorite necessarily, but he's definitely top tier. Absolutely top tier.
Yes. And this, Moorhead is good with quarterbacks, which is very important. You know, because, I mean, again, like think about all that Trace McSorley did in the time that he was there. McSorley, I saw, became the first Penn State player ever to pass for 3,000 yards in multiple seasons, and he was only with Moorhead for 2 years. First Penn State quarterback to ever do that. And yeah, I mean, that was like McSorley is your classic. He's a college quarterback. You know, he was never going to be more than a college quarterback unless he, you know, held a clipboard. I'm not sure if he might be a backup someplace right now, but he's just, he's a college quarterback, and Moorhead maxed out Trace McSorley at Penn State. And that's the kind of coach that you want, a guy who can wring every last ounce out of whoever the quarterback is that you have back there.
I mean, the offense, and when you think of Penn State, you don't necessarily think of offenses, right? The offense at Penn State averaged over 430 yards of offense, and they averaged like 40 points a game. If he can do that with what they had at Penn State, then I like his chances to do some pretty good things at the University of Notre Dame.
Right.
So, yeah.
So what about Ledwig, the Utah coordinator?
Right, yeah. So
here's the guy on the list who's even older than me. He's, not like he's ancient. He's been around a while, 58 years old. You know, he's been around. But, he's a guy who's coached for a long time, been the offensive coordinator at Utah since 2019, but a long history of working with offenses and quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Like, he's been at places like Cal, Wisconsin, Vanderbilt, Boise State. He's been all over the place. What do you think of him?
His offensive philosophy would, I think, transition to Notre Dame, maybe even the best of all the potential candidates. They had a really good tight end, obviously. They're very balanced. They like to run the ball, but they're not afraid to stretch the field. He did really good things with Cam Rising, right? And anybody that thinks that Cam Rising is some sort of an NFL star is fooling themselves. But they were able
to, like, a guy who's maxed out talent.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And so anybody that can do that with the talent that they have there. Now, I'm not saying Utah, they're a Power Five team, right? I'm not saying that they don't have talent, but Notre Dame has more talent. I would love to see what he would be able to do with Notre Dame's talent. And like I said, the transition from what he does offensively to what Notre Dame currently does offensively, it's about as seamless as it gets. And I think he would be a great fit at Notre Dame. I think he'd be a fantastic fit at Notre Dame. And it wouldn't be a parallel move for him. I don't think it would be a move in up, just like Tommy Rees. It was a move up. This is a move up for him.
Utah's never been to the college football playoff. Right. Notre Dame's been twice in the last five years.
And absolutely.
It's a definite step up.
It is.
Puts you on the radar. And like a guy at this point in his career, who has been a career assistant for the most part.
Yeah. Like,
coming to Notre Dame and having 2 to 3 successful years at Notre Dame gives him a chance to become a head coach for the first time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he's got a proven track record as an offensive coordinator. He's coached quarterbacks. He's coached tight ends. He's coached wide receivers. He's coached running backs. Like that's the kind of guy that I want as my offensive coordinator, someone who has coached every single offensive position except for offensive line. You got Harry Hiestand. Check.
Yeah.
So you're good there.
You don't need to worry about the offensive line.
Right. Exactly. This would also constitute a home run hire, in my opinion. Right. There are three guys that would be home run hires for me personally. It's Brady, it's Moorhead, and it's Ludwig. Those are my three at the top tier. That's my top tier. You can pull in one of those guys. I'm doing the Irish jig in my office here because I think that's a win.
Like most of these other guys, I think we agree. We're neither one of us is necessarily as high on Byron Leftwich. You know, we started out talking about him. These other guys, though, we've talked about, besides those big three, are you still, you know, feeling pretty good about them if it ends up not being one of those three?
Ask me that question again. What was about the not being this three? What is it? I'm sorry.
So the three you just mentioned, Brady, Moorhead, Ludwig, that's your top tier.
Absolutely.
If they don't get any of those three, these other guys on the list, are you still feeling good about them?
I could be
like if they end up being the coordinator,
I could be talked into.
It's definitely your fallback tier right now. I mean, you know,
it's a fallback. I could be talked into it. I would have to watch some more film. I would have to, you know, dive a little bit more into some of these other guys, to be honest with you. You know, we're going to talk about them, I suppose. But, yeah, I mean, there's a bit of a gap, if I'm being honest, between those three and then everybody else. There's a little bit of a gap. Now, I would rank, you know, these guys a little bit differently. Like some of the guys we already took off the list, obviously those guys are off the list. You know, to me, I would not be excited about Byron Leftwich. He would be at the bottom of my list. But since I know he's a name that we've heard from some sources, he's got to be on the list, but he would be last on my list, right? It would be those three, and then there's a gap for sure.
Yeah. We haven't talked about Jason Candle, the Toledo head coach. And, you know, like, again, this is like a life. Like, he started off at Division III Mount Union, you know, the Division III powerhouse, and he's been at Toledo for several years now. And a guy who's coached wide receivers there, he's coached tight ends there, he's coached quarterbacks there before he became the head coach. And, you know, he's a guy, you know, like you talk about adaptable. He's adapted his offenses to the personnel that he's had. And I think especially like at that level, you know, like MAC level program, you really need to be able to do that. Sure.
I think MAC level specifically, because obviously we're in MAC land, right? I mean, a lot of kids that we know who get those Division I scholarships go to the MAC, right? And it's very like Ball State, Toledo, you know, Western Michigan, Eastern Michigan. Yeah.
Miami,
like
Ohio,
those. Yeah. Those schools, they'll go after just athletes, right? They're going to go after really good football players. They're going to get the best of the rest of what didn't go high D1. They're going to try to scoop up the rest. And so you don't necessarily recruit to what you want to do X's and O's wise. You get the best guys that are out there. And then you make it work, right? I think when you're at this level, and he's obviously had success at this level, he's 54 and 32 as a head coach. you know, he's had success. He understands how to adapt what he wants to do offensively to what he has on the roster. There's something to be said for that because, you know, we've talked many times about square pegs, round holes, you know, all of those different things, right? There's something to be said for that. Now, for me personally, it's a tier below because he's never done the Power Five offensive coordinating. He's never been at a Power Five school. He's either been at Mount Union or Toledo. Right. Now, if you got the chops, you got the chops. Brian says that all the time, right? And I don't disagree with that. But for this job, personally, I would just rather see somebody with a little bit more experience at a higher level.
Yeah.
It could work great.
Because those three that are in the top tier, they have all been at Power Five programs. And again, you know, like some of them basically two of the three at multiple Power Five programs. And of course, you know, Joe Brady, you know, the 1 year at LSU and a lot of NFL experience after that. But I agree. You know, that's the one knock that I think you'd have on him is he hasn't, you know, there's as successful as Mount Union is, it's still Mount Union and Toledo is Toledo. There's not nearly the same amount of spotlight and pressure that you're going to get, especially when you come to a place like Notre Dame, let alone, you know, just a run-of-the-mill Power Five program. There's going to be a lot more on this guy. And I completely agree with that. That would be my biggest knock on him is he hasn't kind of tasted that, hasn't had to, you know, kind of try to thrive and survive, I guess, so to speak.
Yeah. And there's not a lot of there's just not a lot of track record for guys going from MAC. And maybe I'm wrong. And somebody's going to point out that I'm wrong, I'm sure. But going from MAC to a high-level D1, that's a big jump. Like, that's a big jump to me, right? So it could work. I'm sure he would love to prove me wrong if that's the case. But it's not high on my list. You know, that's just the way I feel about it. You know, even Urban Meyer, he went from Bowling Green to Utah. Utah wasn't Power Five then, right?
Right.
So it was a step up, but it wasn't all the way to the Power Five, right? So it's like incremental steps. I'm just not happy with the big step, right?
The thing about Urban Meyer, you know, and I don't think anyone's still saying that, you know, but there's a guy who we both know who way back, you know, like when Urban was at Bowling Green and they got rid of Bob Davey, you know, I kept hearing Urban Meyer, you got to get Urban Meyer. And I'm like, they're not going to hire Urban Meyer from Bowling Green. I'm sorry.
Right.
That's not happening. And of course, you know, if they would have been willing to make that step at that point, think about rewriting history of Notre Dame over the last two decades, but it didn't happen that way. He went to Utah. And then by that time they wanted him. And of course he went to Florida instead.
Right. So. Right. And I do want to, Michael Johnson makes a very good point. He says people can say the same thing about Marcus Freeman, never coached at the Power Five when he got the defensive coordinator job at Notre Dame. That's fair. But Cincinnati is 1,000 times better program than Toledo.
And he had also at least been a defensive coordinator at Purdue as well.
That's
where, you know, again, Purdue is at least Power Five.
Power Five.
Not to mention he played in a big spotlight when he was at Ohio State.
Good call. Yep. So, you know, great point, Michael. That's a great point. It's just not where I see Notre Dame being right now. I think they can make a better decision.
Yeah. All right. We got a few questions from the chat. You want to throw a few of those in here?
Oh, why not? Yeah. There's a couple good ones in there, I think.
Michael, I think you just had a question for Michael, but he's saying, what would the time frame with the Notre Dame hurdles? What would the time frame?
So, I mean, I think the goal is to have somebody in place by the time, you know, spring ball starts. I think that's a fair goal. I mean, you're still looking at 6 weeks at that point. I think they're going to have it done well in advance of that. But here's the other thing about the Notre Dame hurdles that I do want to speak to. Just because he hasn't been approved officially and like the official word has gone out, he can still get to work and he can still be doing stuff.
Which happened this last cycle. Like some of those guys started before it was official.
Absolutely. And you can't really have contact with the players anyway. So doing work off site getting your, you know, whatever ready to go for spring ball, you know, how you want to put stuff in. And all, those things can all be done once you've decided that that is where you are going to be, or they have decided that that's where you're going to be.
Yeah.
The official check mark from the university with all the hurdles, that's literally a formality, right? It's the O'Leary thing. It's a formality. You can get to work well before that position, that decision. I mean, think about all the hires that we had last year, right? We knew all of them well in advance. Those guys were getting to work as soon as they knew they were going to be the coach.
Right.
So it's a formality. So I think, but as far as timetable, look, spring ball, I think, is where they want to be. And spring ball is not going to take place until the middle of March. So you've got 5 weeks at least.
Michael wants to know, great analysis of the best out there. My question is, which coach would probably excite 17 to 18-year-old kids to choose the Irish? My top choice would be Joe Brady.
Yep.
You know, it's like when you've got Joe Burrow having just been in a Super Bowl in another AFC championship game after winning a national championship, like Joe, you know, Joe Brady, I think, especially from a quarterback standpoint, he's the one who's going to fire people up the most.
Yes. No question about it, because he has the most recent big time success.
Yes.
Right? National championship. Joe Burrow was the number one pick, went to the Super Bowl. He was a Heisman Trophy winner. I mean, it sells itself. And these guys are not young enough to not remember 2019, right? They're too young to remember 1988, but they're not too young to remember 2019 and what that LSU offense was able to do, especially considering most of those offensive weapons are doing it in the NFL. That's the stuff that they watch.
You know, Terry asks, is Joe Brady even remotely interested? It's not our job to figure out if they're interested right now. We're just telling you the people Notre Dame is interested in. Yeah. And, you know, that's a big question. And that's what we started off. You know, I think Terry got in a little bit late, but that's when we were talking about Joe Brady earlier, that's the biggest question. Does he want to come back to college? And, you know, along with that, does he want to recruit? Because, you know, there's documented quotes on him from his time at LSU that he did not like recruiting. And that's a big issue. No. Now, that said, as we've said, because of who is sort of the reputation that Joe Brady has, and then you couple that with Notre Dame and you pair that with Marcus Freeman, I think recruiting becomes a heck of a lot easier for him this time around at Notre Dame, if that's something he decided that he wanted to go into.
Yeah.
But, you know, is he interested?
I don't know.
That's something that we'll find out probably within the next couple days as we begin to find out who's actually, you know, going to show up to interview and that kind of stuff. So
absolutely. Absolutely. And just because people are coming in, some people can interview virtually, some people interview in person, like,
right.
You know, people don't need to get all a Twitter about things that are happening. You know, just everybody relax.
Yeah. There was one more question in there. Bill, can Notre Dame bring in a consultant, or are they limited?
They can. I mean, I assume you're talking about a consultant for the search. They can if they want to. I mean, you can do whatever you want to hire somebody. If you're talking about like an analyst or something like that, you can bring in as many analysts as you want as well. The only thing that you're restricted to is how many coaches you have on the field, which is why for the 100,000th time, they can't bring in a separate quarterbacks coach as well as an offensive coordinator, because you'd have to fire somebody in order to do that, because you only get so many coaches. So it's going to be a combo. It's most likely going to be a combination offensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach. There is some wiggle room in there. I think you could potentially have Chancey Stuckey or, you know, even Jared Parker be the quarterbacks coach. If you need to bring in somebody else that's an offensive coordinator, that's not a deal breaker, but I think
I'm not sure how sold I am on that though.
Like, I agree with you.
Moving one of those guys to an important position like quarterback coach, you know,
I am with you 1,000%.
They're good at what they do right now.
Yes.
I don't know how I'd feel about one of those guys as the quarterback's coach though.
Right. 100%. And so I don't think that's the route they're going to go, but I have heard people say that it's a possibility if the right offensive coordinator comes along.
Right.
I still think they're looking for a combo.
To me, if you're going to hire a guy who is not going to be the quarterback's coach, then you know, one that complicates things because of what you heard, you know, basically, you know, if you were to move those guys, it's to keep them on the staff and you don't want to get rid of them. But it's like, man, that's just such an important position. I think you're much better off. Like, again, the three guys that we put at the top of the list are all guys with quarterback experience. And I think that is really important.
I do too. You've got a really good offensive staff right now. And somebody asked, I don't know if it's a starred question or not.
Let me see.
Nope. So somebody asked earlier, is it a downfall for an offensive coordinator coming in if they can't bring in their own staff? Okay. You're not going to find a much better staff than what Notre Dame has from an offensive standpoint. I mean,
But that could disqualify some guys because there are going to be, you know,
there could.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of people out there, though, that maybe they would want to bring in at least one guy or something like that that knows their system or whatever. I get that. But give me 10 minutes to describe the guys that they have on staff, and I think I could convince whoever it is that you still want to come to Notre Dame and be the offensive coordinator at Notre Dame. There's just too much going for it right now. That's how I feel. So a lot of good coaches there right now. Marcus Freeman did a really good job hiring offensive coaches.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of cohesion on the staff, you know, and again, you know, do their jobs well from both a recruiting and an on-field standpoint especially on that offensive side of the ball. So
no doubt about it.
But that could, you know, because I like with the defensive coordinator stuff last year, there were guys who wanted to bring in some of their own guys and say, yeah, no, that's a deal breaker. So we'll see. We'll see where that goes. You know, it'll be really interesting again. Like you got one of these kind of, if you want to call them marquee guys, you know, again, like the guys at the top of the wish list, if they do want to bring guys with them, what that ends up meaning. So,
yeah, absolutely.
But again, when you've got the young quarterbacks like you've got who are the future of your program, and like with next year in mind, especially because you're bringing in this veteran, you need a quarterbacks coach who's going to be able to get that guy and have that guy ready to go. And I think you need a guy who's hands-on and has worked with quarterbacks extensively in the past, not just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.